Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan. I'm your host, Rems Mabote. Thank you for your continuing support of this content. Please continue to subscribe and comment and share. Leading Pan-African reputation and public relations agency Decode Communications released its sixth annual South African Government Leaders on X report themed Year of Reckoning and Resilience. In the report, Decode argues that government's failure to fully engage with citizens on social media could lead to worsening trust, fueling perceptions of poor accountability, transparency, and responsiveness in a politically fragile environment. But why does government need social media? X in particular, when all of you, especially the likes of Advocate Noel Perry Roux and Chris Excel, are now trusted sources of information. Well, to help me clear my head about this matter is the man himself, the CEO of Decode, to make me understand why we need this report and what are they trying to achieve as an organization. Black looks good on you.
I know. With a dash of color.
Right. Good to see you again.
No. It's always wonderful to be here.
I'm glad that you are here. And I really want to start with that question before you get to the deeper part of the report, really. Why? Why should President worry about this thing when what's that fellow who always exposes celebrities and their shenanigans?
Musa Kaula.
Yes. There are Musa Kaulas of this world. Yes. You know, they're competing with Advocate Barry Roux, Chris Excel, and all these people. They are now the trusted sources. Yeah. Why would I trust the president more than I trust these fellows?
So, and I guess the trouble is that it is said that we have minds of goldfish, right? So we forget very quickly. Mm-hmm. So if we were to moonwalk to early in the year last year in 2025, yeah. Remember President Cyril Ramaphosa announces, or at least, talks about the DRC issue.
Yeah.
And he talks about, the interaction with the Rwandan president,
yes.
Paul Kagame.
Yeah.
Right. What happened immediately after that? There was a press statement that was sent to news media houses.
Yeah.
There were communique that were put out on other social media platforms. But where did the actual fallout happen? It happened on X because President Kagame, in his wisdom or foolishness, decided to use X to say, in not so many words, Ramaphosa, you are a liar.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And that is when we then saw, diplomatic tensions. And of course, we know that we lost servicemen in the summit DRC issue. And you look at just across the Atlantic, right? That orange man, Donald Trump, President Donald Trump of the US, he has his own social media platform, Truth Social,
mm-hmm.
right?
But he's funny still, calls it this,
right? But he still has to get validation by taking the posts and putting them on X. And only when they get on X, that is when there is talkability and conversation. So it is precisely for that matter that the utility of X, it may have many issues.
Yeah.
We know who the owner is. We know the many things that are happening because of the owner.
Yes.
Right? The many lies that the owner puts out on that platform.
Yeah.
But the utility, if you look at just these two incidents, I can quote many, but just these two incidents tell you about how critical this tool is, particularly for government leaders.
So we're going to get to your findings and we're going to talk to what happens this week, by the way, on this day when this podcast comes out, right? But let's talk about why you do this thing. Year after year after year, it has become a signature product, program of Decodes. Why do you do this?
So in 2020, when, we were all locked down, we started seeing government talking to South Africans and connecting with them in a better way.
Yes.
They needed, it was a public health crisis of coronavirus or COVID-19. And we started seeing them elevating how they connect with citizens. Of course, they were, so you'd have the Corona Command Council having the meetings, at the time was termed family meetings. The president would talk at South Africans. But they got a lot more opportunity to be spoken back at through the platform. And our interest, therefore, was to observe, is this a thing that is done because there's a there's a deep need for us to connect with citizens, or are we going to, or are they going to sustain it? And we've then decided to look at, at least throughout the time to say, are they sustaining it?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because it's a mixed bag, right? You are seeing some who are doing relatively better because of it, mm-hmm. but also you are seeing a lot of laggards, and that's the unfortunate part.
So what are your general findings
yeah.
in the sixth report?
In the sixth report, so one of the first is that when you look at, oh, maybe before I even get to what we found,
yeah.
we decided to burden ourselves. So in the first five reports, we were only looking at cabinets,
yes.
national cabinet and provincial cabinets. And, because I don't know where we find this, and maybe bravery or some say stupidity.
There's a fine line between the two.
Right. We then decided that we are going to add 275 public entities, which are some of them state-owned entities, Chapter 9 institutions,
yes.
Regulators and the likes.
That would have been a huge project.
It's a massive project. So literally, we're looking at over 340 accounts, because remember the 340 accounts is the ones that we found.
Yes.
But so if you think about it, it's 375 entities, so 275 entities, and the 275 CEOs and or heads or executive directors,
wow.
or essentially the accounting
yes.
officers, right? And then you
and sometimes some of them they would also be chairpersons of the board who participate
absolutely
on the space,
right? So the report is big and significant in that sense. So in terms of general findings, and I'll start with these the newcomers.
Yeah.
When you look at the entities' accounts, doing exceptionally well by presence and engagement
yeah.
and activity. The CEOs, they did an undoozy, right? Because, so if you think about, so the number one most followed CEO or accounting officer is Ayabonga Gawe of the International Trade Association
yeah.
Commission, right? And you can even argue that the reason he's at 22,000 followers, it is because he was
It's a carryover from his previous
right.
life. He's got nothing to do with
The next agency. Person that follows him is the SARS commissioner, Edward Kitzweta,
yeah.
right? And then the number 10 is Sasria CEO Mpumi Gigwe at a measly plus 500 followers. So number one at 22, number 10 at
wow.
just over 500. Right, and that is why we said then saying that you then look at one besides absence, then you literally have those who are there, their accounts are there and are dormant. So that is the biggest feature where you realize that there's an undies. And why that is interesting, so if you look at Eskom, all of us require power,
hmm.
right? Whether you're a business or even a household, right? You have Dan Marokane who, he has done exceptionally well with the executive
yeah.
team and the operations team, right, to ensure that we are here, we are celebrating now almost close to a year without load shedding.
Mm-hmm.
The chairperson of the board, Mteto Nyati, the one who says bet on a turkey, right?
Yeah.
Mteto Nyati exists on X. He's not anonymous. He's not using a banner account. He exists as himself. On the regular, he posts about things that matter to him personal, but importantly, the things that are about his role as chairperson at Eskom, or at least talking about, we are seeing success. This is why we are seeing success and the likes.
Almost
right?
Then positions him as executive chairman, is he?
No, it does. And by the way, I've raised the thing about, his fiduciary role to say, I don't think that this is the thing, but we are not there,
yeah.
right?
As he collab.
The interesting thing about that is that those who ask sincere, honest, and genuine questions, he then responds to them. So you then are realizing that here is somebody who is, I'm not sure whether he's a billionaire, but I know that he's not a centenier like some of us, right? He must be,
he's
at least
okay.
He's okay. Right?
Yeah.
Somebody who is okay like that creates time to not only put up content that is showcasing the turnaround of this ginormous entity that is meant to power the economy of South Africa
mm-hmm.
and creates time and opportunity to be responsive to those who ask sincere and genuine questions.
Yeah.
It then, at least that's the one key finding. Then, of course, on the other, particularly at national level, we are now in the era of the GNU, right? Who can forget budget 1.0,
yeah.
2.0, and 3.0,
yeah.
right? Of course, discount the silly moments of when Minister Khumuzon Chabeni in the presidency, while sitting with the Minister of you know, Finance, said, you know, about the SARS commissioner to say, can do right? But when you look at the big issue around the budget itself, the minister's absence and inability to explain to South Africans, particularly through this platform, to say, this is why it is important for you to understand why there is this mooted issue around raising VAT. It's going to help us to achieve this,
one,
that, and
two,
the other.
Yes.
Anyone can argue and say, yeah, but there was a press release. Mm. Yeah, there was this and that and the other. If you look at the significance of what Donald Trump is able to achieve with the immediacy, because then that is the thing,
yeah,
right? The immediacy of the platform, it's that missed opportunity. Go to the, GPUs, the government unity. Yes,
yeah.
Right? In KwaZulu-Natal in particular, and KwaZulu-Natal because it's quite an interesting, province. Tamin Tuli, in 2025, tweeted only once.
Was it what? Hey, SFF, what is that?
No,
thing?
It was actually early, the motion of no confidence. Earlier in the year, right? But we've also observed. So when we did that, we didn't only look at them existing as political leaders or at least as government leaders. We also looked at what are some of the dynamics around there. So if you were to look at the IFP in total, any one of the IFP members of parliament, or at least even those who are in government, they engage on those platforms very little. Only the younger chap, Mkhuleko Hlengwa.
I was about to say, I'm sure he's doing fairly well.
No, he's
in fact, he's the shining light.
In the deputy ministers, he ranks very high as one of those who, not only are they, you know, in the leaderboard, but also from a ranking point of view, doing exceptionally well.
Wouldn't you say, though, that a lot of government, in particular ministers and maybe deputies, give them a fair hearing, and premiers and whoever else they are, that part of the not engaging is because then I have to speak to advocate, not Barry Ruo. So I don't know who I'm talking to. You know, I need to talk to CPO 1234. I don't know who this fellow is. Could that be a legitimate excuse of not being engaging, or firstly participating, and secondly not engaging?
When you're not here on this podcast, you help those who are either sometimes are in trouble and or that need your advice on how do I build up my reputation or at least show my reputation, right? And one of the key truths is we always say to them that you need to choose your battles. And the example of Mteto Nyati does exactly that.
Yeah.
Mteto Nyati understands why he is on this platform. And he therefore, once he's put up information, somebody engages it and he then discerns that this is a genuine concern and this is a genuine question. He's responsive to it. Mm-hmm. And then there are many other people who will be throwing eggs, throwing cabbages and all that. He does not create time for them.
Yeah.
So it's about making that. And again, leadership is about choices. So it therefore means that the choice that they should be making should be that I am going to engage with citizens who want to be engaged, not people who are, you know, using anonymity to be throwing things at me or even creating things that could create unnecessary speculation.
Yet participation in this space could be, I mean, you know, it's how long is a piece of string, right? Yeah. So I think of somebody like Minister Gaten Mkhize, right?
Yes.
I'm sure he's up there, and you'll tell us just now.
Yes.
But I also ask myself, I feel like he dumps things on us.
Yes.
So I'm not sure, is that what we want, for people to keep on dumping things on us? Therefore, they look like they're participating on the platforms.
Yes. So Gaten Mkhize is the, if you were to do the overall ranking, he's the fourth most followed government leader, right?
I suspect 80% of those are in prison. No.
Trevor Noah last week is being said, or at least Donald Trump is claiming that is going to sue him for, you know, some issue that he mentioned. So please let us stay away from any kind of civil suit.
He's my guy, that guy.
Anyway, so with Gaten, one of the things that is Minister Gayton McKenzie, one of the things that he's been able to do is that when he talks about things that concern his portfolio, whether it's bringing the VAR to South Africa, whether it's around, you know, the issue of artists and their livelihoods.
Opening an exhibition.
Yes, yeah. Right. The things that, in fact, so on these two, the Benin exhibition, I think deliberately he chose not to engage.
Of course.
But these ones, he engages. So when people are talking about, you know, things as they happen, you can see that they've created infrastructure around him to communicate. Another interesting thing about him, unlike Premier Banyaza Lesufi, who's then the third most followed Twitterati, right, in government leaders, definitely Banyaza Lesufi manages his own Twitter account. But also there's no alternate account that is about the office
of the Premier.
Of the Premier,
yeah.
Right? That one is more departmental. So if you look at Gayton, there's the departmental account, which talks about everything that is sports, arts, and culture and recreation. Then there's the ministry's account,
yeah.
Right? Of course, it's taking longer to grow. But in our observation, and how we even advise some of our clients, is that that is the other way to go. Because in that way, you are creating an opportunity for people to recognize that there's the department and there's the person,
yeah.
Right? Because what that does is that tomorrow, when the GNU does not exist anymore, when he walks away with his 500,000 plus followers, the ministry remains.
Yeah.
So it's institutionalized.
I mean, I can imagine a number of departments or ministries suffered when Fikile Mbalula left, right?
Absolutely.
Because they were in his name.
Police.
Yeah.
Transport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in his name.
Yes.
Yeah. So you said Gayton is number four.
Yes.
Who's 1, 2, 3?
President Cyril Ramaphosa with just over 3 million followers.
Yeah, but that comes with the office, right? No. Even if you had put me there, I probably would have had my, okay, maybe 300,000.
I suspect so. Maybe one of the things that we need to do is to look at President Bogo just across,
yeah.
You know, there, yeah. In Botswana to see.
Arribeche, man.
I think it's a fair ask. So I suspect it may be a different thing for different jurisdictions, right? But also, if you consider that President Cyril Ramaphosa, he did a different thing, right? Where, as he walked into office, for the first time, there was a head of digital in Ati Geleba.
Yes.
Where the president before him, although there may have been some social media presence, there may not have been an X account,
mm-hmm.
but there was no person who was dedicated to building this communication community.
And we're going to talk about that, yeah?
Continue. Yes, yeah. Right. Then the second most followed, you are going to be shocked.
I am, because I can't even think about who it could be.
It is Gwede Mantashe.
No, no, the tiger.
It's the tiger himself.
Whoa.
Right. And the Tiger's account is very interesting in the sense that, you know, somebody who's responsible for minerals and petroleum portfolio, right? He tweets, or at least a lot of the content is departmental content and some party content.
Yes.
Interestingly, the account has done a good thing where, if when you look at the number of content that they amplify, it would be of the organizations that are within his portfolio, your Council for Geosciences, for instance, right?
Mm.
So they found a way of saying, this is not just about the minister has arrived at one function or the other, right? It's also about recognizing that we're going to use the institutional power to ensure that people then have sight of all the other agencies that are under my pay.
Because naturally, in fairness, some of these agencies would not get any traction if their stuff did not come through a minister like Gwede.
Absolutely.
Right?
In fact, if I were to ask you a question, who's the CEO of the Council for Geosciences?
What is the Council of Geosciences?
The only reason I know that is that the Musa Mabusa, it is because I've done work with Council for Geosciences.
Yeah.
But had it not been for that, I would not have known him. Right, and that is why when you look at the 275, you find Council for Geosciences. Just in minerals and portfolio, you find MinTech.
Yes,
right, and you say, in fact, and then you realize the role of MinTech. You realize the amount of money that ordinarily budget would a parliament would give them, or at least approve,
yeah.
So that they can do their work. You see that they are driving the economy, And that is why accountability should then be a thing that is a lot more public.
And we're going to go to accountability because that's very important for me. And third, you had already mentioned that you'd
be Panyaza Lesupi. Yes.
Which makes him number one in on the provincial.
Definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
Who else is doing well on the provincial?
Dr. Poppy Ramatuba.
Ah,
she's actually second on the provincial,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you also have Zamani Saul,
yeah.
Who is, ranking
in your province.
Ranking high. Yes. And then you have Alan Winde.
Yes.
And the Alan Winde is then interesting because now if you're to look in the context of, and again, that's what we say, we see 2025 as the year of reckoning, because so in 2024, President Ramaphosa announces this government of national unity. Then you have the government of provincial unity happening in both Gauteng and KZN, right? The communication has been very interesting. Typically, the DA leads. In fact, in KZN, of the 11 executive members, including the premier, only two MECs are on X, engage actively, guess which party they are from, the Democratic Alliance,
yeah.
Right? So almost everywhere where they feature higher, particularly on rankings in terms of one, posting regularly, but importantly, even engaging with citizens.
Would you say that the DA and I suppose other leaders of parties that are not from the ANC, who are now part of the GNU in one form or another, are doing better than the ANC counterparts? And could it also be a question of age?
It may be a question of age, definitely. Mm-hmm. If you consider somebody like the Minister of Basic Education, Sivuyo Gwahube, right, who, in the reading of the observations, she has chosen to even play politics better,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you consider the many contentious issues, whether it's the Bella Act where the party did not want the Bella Act to pass, but then because she's now the custodian, she had
to
defend
it. She's the minister of this government, not of the party.
Right?
Yeah.
She, of course, she did the a very silly thing by absconding when there was a signing at the union buildings.
People used to abscond on the vote of no confidence of the previous president. That's done every time.
Right. But ever since that moment, she has literally shown, one, that perhaps age is a thing that helps in this, adoption of technology and how to be a little bit more nimble and dynamic in responding. But the thing that has also been interesting, Khone, is that, so if you think about the matric class of 2024, right, when it was announced earlier in 2025, there was a thing about, is the DA going to go on the assault of, but the actual metric pass rate is, now that the minister is a DA minister.
Yeah.
You've almost seen a different type of tone. So people who understand and do politics better seem to be able to get a lot better response on these platforms. Juxtapose that with a minister from the same party, Solly Malatsi, who seemed to be, almost just rubbing rough shots when you think about whether it's Starlink, he's almost very forceful,
mm-hmm.
and you are not seeing the kind of support that Siviwe, who's in the same position from a politics and politicking point of view, right? And across the board, relatively the older people, and again, that is why the encouragement for us is to say, and I'm not asking for people to create work for us and pay for us. Of course, we want that
maybe
money.
You should.
Right?
Maybe you should.
Institutionalized accounts.
Yes.
I have said this before, that take away the fact that you have Donald Trump as the rogue president he is now, right? When you look at all the presidencies, from Obama in particular, right? And then, of course, Joe Biden, or Trump, Joe Biden, and now Trump again, right? What they've been able to do, Khone, is to, one, archive all the accounts. So mm-hmm. when you're a president, when you come in, you start at zero.
Yeah.
Right? When you end, they archive that account. What that does for academics, historians, sociologists. So this is not just about are you a Fikile Mbalula existing to tell us about potholes if you're the minister of transport, mm-hmm. right? It is a lot even bigger than that.
Wow, I didn't know that actually. So now we know the who's playing well and stuff like that.
Yes.
But then, let's go back to the president.
Yes.
3 million plus followers and stuff like that, posts a lot, but he doesn't engage us.
Not at all.
So what's the point of all this? Where's, and it goes to the issue of accountability. Yes, part of accounting is to tell us what's happening.
Yes. Right?
And that's fair enough. But you're not answering my questions, though, when I ask you, Mr. President.
And I guess that goes to his style of leadership, right? The media have complained a lot about inaccessibility, right? Where those who want answers from him almost have to doorstop him to get answers, right? And you can even take X as that doorstopping because that's the thing where you put something out or people want to, you know, find out about, you know, why did you have this long list about the Madlanga Commission, but you left out Senzo. Right, Senzo Mchunu, who's the police minister, who's now on suspension, right? And again,
extended it's, leave.
Oh yes, extended leave. Yeah. Right framing, absolutely important, right? But the point is, inability to utilize this platform to then say, I've done a thing of telling South Africans the action that I've taken, but let me use this platform to explain why this is important that I took this decision and why it matters, right? And of course, like I said, Ntetho Nyati, typical example, operates at the highest level of ESCOM, right?
But what he's first of equals at ESCOM.
Right? Yeah. But what he then does is to say, I am not going to engage with everyone on my timeline, but there are things that I'm going to ensure that I address, because if I've addressed an issue or if I've responded to a question, then there's no need for me to repeat myself. I could even just quote tweet that to show you that I've responded to that question. So there's a shortage of that. But also, there's a thing about humanizing the president. Ati Geleba has done exceptionally well on that, humanizing the president.
Right. He gets flowers, he speaks to people in different languages, he's smiling, he's everywhere, right?
But humanizing must also be around how you are responsive.
Mm.
So if you think, and that is why, you know, people, one of the criticisms was, when you look at our report, take Nomsa Chabedi, for instance, the group CEO of the SABC, right? She is doing exceptionally well on LinkedIn. A lot of her content, if not majority of the content, is of SABC and about SABC.
On LinkedIn,
right? On Facebook and on X. It's about Arsenal. She does not even repost the SABC content on X.
Maybe she's got the Visit Rwanda account.
It is possible, right? And when you just look at those two and juxtapose, right? Again, it's the choice that she has made. It may be to your point, she does not want to engage with the Musa Kaulas or at least compete with the Musa Kaulas. But when you think about the utility of LinkedIn, ordinarily, it may look like a platform of peers and equals, but it's a platform where we actually don't hold each other accountable.
Nothing.
So I can say, I can lie about what I've done, or I can, I think the word is embellish,
yes,
that I used when I was at SAA. I used to, no one is going to say, but why are you not telling the truth? Right. So that
also in terms of numbers, right? Who plays where?
Right.
People play at X.
So LinkedIn, while it looks like it's a good platform, it's actually more self-serving than this one, that you know that accountability is going to be the thing.
Because I mean the issue of the president, and I mean, hey man, I love this footage that they show us whenever he's traveling, whenever he's everywhere. It's beautiful, right? I mean, the artist doing a great job.
Yes.
But I feel like it's almost like somebody on a ramp, you know, they're showing us it's a peacock kind of thing, right? But that's where it ends.
Yeah.
And I'm saying I'd like to look at my president far more than that.
Absolutely.
Right? It has to be much deeper. And there are many issues that the president deals with every day. We don't get to engage with him on this platform.
And the thing that Ati could do better, and we call her Ati, or I call her Ati, because tomorrow she may leave and it may be somebody else. Whoever takes over
the
account.
Next Ati,
right, the next Ati, right, is that on any given day, Vincent Magwenya, the spokesperson of the president, ordinarily would give us or announce the diary of the president, right? What Ati then goes and does visually is to say, you remember we announced that he's going to Vietnam, here he is now going to Vietnam doing... None of what comes out is, we've seen the photo op of signing a bilateral.
What does it mean, bilateral? What does it mean for us?
Right. And that is the thing that could elevate this thing, because now it's not just about the pageantry of a red book that is opened, signed off, right? It's about, why should I care as a South African that there's this thing, there's this bilateral between South Africa and Vietnam. Mm. And that is where we are now going to see a little bit more value out of the information that comes out of the presidency through these platforms.
So on the day that this podcast comes out this week,
yes,
will be the State of the Nation address.
Yeah.
You know, it happens every year. The president will be standing there and saying, fellow South Africans.
Yes.
And he'll quote another musician and stuff like that.
Speak a couple of languages, or at least showmanship comes out.
Why is this work that you're doing
important
in relation to the SONA and pretty much everything else that government does and leaders of society do?
We live in a society where trust is at an all-time low, right? And at an all-time low because you have General Senona who sits there, lies about many, many things, right? Giving us a peek into how rotten the South African police services is. A place where when you and I, whether, your daughter would have been, robbed of her cell phone, or Wamukhetsi would have, been robbed of his car headlights, like it happened recently.
Yeah.
Right. I want to trust that when I go to the South African Police Services, I will get the kind of humane treatment that comes up.
Mm.
And technology is but a facilitator. So if you give me a sense that there's some institutional account that talks to me, I don't feel that human connection. And at the launch last week, one of the panelists, the CEO of the MDDA that you hosted last week here on this podcast, spoke about the need for human connection, right? And when leaders recognize that, stop being faceless, or at least believing that when you are ESCOM, or when you are Den Marokkane running ESCOM, it's good enough that there's an ESCOM account.
Yeah.
The Den Marokkane account humanizes the organization.
I can then see a human being that I can talk to.
Right?
Yeah.
And in that way, you then have all of these, public representatives gathered here, including the 9 premiers, by the way, right, who, when they lead, and I can tell you now, Gauteng, out of the 11 executive members, only the member of Osbaizani is not on X.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are. And you can tell how they proactively use it. I imagine that they are also encouraged by how their premier is doing it.
Mm.
Similarly in other provinces. So when you have a premier in KwaZulu-Natal who tweets once in a year, how do you think that the people who at least report to him politically are going to see these platforms as valuable?
Yeah.
The DA members would do it out of a defiance, but also it's part of their culture.
But also the DA thing, right?
Yes. So that is why it's absolutely significant that the paying attention to it is not only about the conversations that are happening there, but recognizing that we almost had a first battle between two most significant and growing nations, between South Africa and Rwanda, because of an exchange on this platform.
If he were to change, if he were to call you,
right,
and I can tell you where you can meet him. I know I bump into him from time to time lately.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm connected. If he were to say to you, how would I use this platform to personalize SONA and make it human? What would you say to him?
The first would be to say, recognize that the owner of this platform, And whether that was the intention when he bought it or not, it's a different matter. But one of the things that he has done successfully has been to weaponize this platform, right? Where this platform has become a place where he uses his money, his following, to peddle absolute lies about the genocide that happens here. So if part of the thing about the State of the Nation address is to reassure South Africans about a couple of things, you then need to exist here such that the reassurance look like reassurance and it does not feel too mechanical.
Yes.
So that would be the first thing, right? Because misinformation is a big problem on this platform, right?
Huge.
And when you are not there, or at least when you're just broadcasting content, you are not helping your cause. there's a thing that you need to do to say, these are lies. This is not true. And here is what is true.
Yeah.
Right? And again, selectively, you could engage. Say, I pick up Rams Maboti because I know that Rams is going to engage with me possibly from a journalistic point of view. So when you ask a question, the likelihood is that the question is a lot more enlightened, or at least is looking to enlighten the people who follow you,
yes,
that it is just about you thinking that I'm interacting with the president. So there would be some of those things to say. Be selective in the kinds of people that are going to be almost a gateway to audiences. Right? The other one, so one of the things that happens is that, there would be either people who write to the president, children, and then, of course, then they are mentioned,
yeah,
and the likes, right? How many tweets have you had him mention about the information that he has picked up there?
Zero.
The likelihood is that...
Therefore, tells me he does not participate on X,
or
right?
Also, maybe he believes that Twitter is not a real thing.
Why else is he there then?
No. It is because somebody in their wisdom said, in government communications,
yeah,
we need to create this account.
I think that's true. I think he doesn't believe in the platform.
No, he doesn't. Not at all.
Whew. So, what are we, and I'm excited about this topic, but we have to get to an end of some sort. What are we learning about the SOEs and state-owned, the parastatals?
Yes.
Some of them are not all Chapter 9 institutions. I mean, I would have thought that the Office of the Public Protector was more active in the Public Protector, two public protectors behind.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, the other one became a politician,
yeah,
and stuff. How is it doing now?
So the Public Protector is the third most followed account,
okay,
right? And to your point, Professor Tulima Donzela is the one who really got it to where it was.
Yeah.
The previous public protector, not so much,
yeah,
right? But then in that same vein, there's an interesting account that is growing at a faster rate than majority of them. And it makes absolute sense. The South African Weather Bureau Services.
Why? Why? Who cares?
Right. So the elements of, the weather affect us every day.
Yeah.
But importantly, we've now been seeing a lot of, every Monday, or in fact, every Sunday, they give us this Gauteng forecast of the week. They give us a KZN forecast of the week. So we are now finding utility in this platform where it gives us, positive information.
Mm-hmm.
In certain times, where, for instance, there would be a weather warning, whether it's, there's going to be some storm and thunder, lightning and all of that. When they do the club backs, they are very interesting. So what they've done, and again, it may be a moment thing, they are doing a little bit of a Nando's approach to how they treat social media. And Nkone, it
really
is not called social media because of it is social. So because it's social, you then need to be thinking about how do you, in your tone of voice, remain professional, but interact and engage in the way that it makes sense from a social perspective.
Engage with people at their level. On that note, I have to ask you then, I mean, one of the best accounts at that, in that sense,
yes,
that I used to enjoy was the City of Joburg. How,
yes,
are they doing?
The City of Joburg,
although they would get themselves into trouble from time to time.
No, and it was good in the sense that it then created talkability. So
yes,
ordinarily, and again, I'll go back to the question that you asked, Mkhonne. Whenever there would be the derby, in fact, I remember the one derby in particular, Kaizer Chiefs, my poor team, always suffering at the hands of Orlando, yeah, Pirates. And on the day, they then listed a couple of clinics in Joburg to,
yeah,
say, we know that if you're a Kaizer Chiefs fan, you probably not only have a headache, you also have a heartache.
Yeah.
Here are a list of clinics that you must go to for counseling services.
Right? Selling the clinics using a contemporary matter.
Think about it if you're to write it in a not so humorous way. Just say, here's a list of all our clinics if you're looking for counseling, yeah, services. Possibly a few people were going to,
yes,
to do that, right? And unfortunately, and it happens, I guess, everywhere. It's not just only in our domain of reputation management and communications. There's a chap, TK Komape.
Mm-hmm.
He used to head the unit there of Digital Communications Institute of Johannesburg. He was then taken over by the GCIS, is now at national office.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, his departure has, at least in our observation and the findings, is that the city of Johannesburg is not as witty and quirky as it used to be.
Oh, so this was a personal competency.
Yes.
Not an institutional competency.
Yeah. Yes.
And how important is that as we conclude? Because you've spoken about personal accounts, you've spoken about departmental accounts or organizational accounts and stuff like that. Where do we draw the line and do the fine balance such that we don't lose the personal excellence,
sure,
at the expense of the organization or the department?
So there's a thing that is a little bit absent in Konawe. We don't have standards of maintaining the consistency. So if you think about today, Advocate Andy Mutibi was addressing staff at his new gig at the NPA, National Prosecuting Authority, right? He was at the SIU before he went there. The SIU is the only organization to have a playlist in Spotify because of the songs they have that they put together whenever. So if, there was a PRASA issue, or they were arresting somebody, or getting money from somebody who would have stolen money from Brasa, then they would play Brahima Sigela's Timela. Right?
Because it's related to Brasa.
Right.
It's like Thulima Tonsela used to do naming her reports.
Yes.
Right? She would do that. Yes.
Right. And that innovation at the SIU got South Africans to relate with it at that level, which is very social, very human.
Because ordinarily, they would be boring. It's the SIU. It should be a boring organization. Yeah.
Right. What is going to be interesting is, now that the Ndimo TV has left, one, is Kaiser Kanyaho as the spokesperson going to stay there? Because we know that this thing has happened, or this change has been effected because Kaiser Kanyaho, when he arrived there, he said, I am 60 plus years old. But I recognize that comms has evolved from the time when I was in the Constitutional and Justice Development Department many years ago.
Yeah,
right. He has evolved it, right? And we are likely not to see it change because what he has done is that he has institutionalized how the comms is done there.
Yes.
Can it be said about many other places? Unfortunately not. And the Competition Commission has been the one example of that. Sipho Ngwema, when he came to be the head of comms and responsible for media relations, and Thembinkosi Sibonakele was the commissioner, the face of the commission changed.
Yeah.
There's now somebody who's responsible for media relations. Sipho is at a different level, still in the comms management space.
Yeah.
But you can tell that he's absent in that way that he was present before. So the personality thing always plays a role. But I think we need standards that are going to help us to standardize it everywhere and institutionalize it, or at least in many places. It will not be everywhere, but at least in many places.
So, in short, we can't wish away X.
In fact, the interesting stat that everyone who's watching this podcast now would be interested to know is that X has gone down by 3.9. So out of all the favorite social media platforms in South Africa, X is the only one that dropped in users following, right, by about 3.9%. And TikTok, on the other hand, is the one that has grown by over 100%, right? And you can imagine why, right? You enjoy TikTok.
I love it.
Right? Even with that, the immediacy of X still eclipses TikTok. Because the algorithm of TikTok works such that it's the content that I follow.
Yeah.
Whereas, to a great extent, while there's an algorithm even on X, right, a lot of the news content will always be, because it's a news platform, or at least a news, the way it was curated, it's a news platform. And therefore, its utility will always be better.
Yeah.
And that is why we can never wish it away. Elon Musk and his lies, not discounted.
So, Please tell those who are watching us now where to find this report.
The report,
you can look at them there and tell them.
The report is on decode.co.za. When you are on our landing page, you'll see a big banner there with a fine-looking President Cyril Ramaphosa. Click on the link and download the report.
And while you are on that, use Decode for your reputation management and public relations issues. I can speak for them. I think I know what they do. Well done on the 6th. And I know you say that's too huge and you're not too sure about the money, where you get the money from. I look forward to the 7th.
We've been set up here, but we'll take the challenge.
I've become so dependent on this thing. If the 7th doesn't come, I may need those clinics. So COG.
No, thank you so much for hosting me.
And thank you very much for watching this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Please continue to subscribe, comment, and share. From me, Rams Mabote, goodbye and God bless.